Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clashing of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Colossians chapter 3, from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
We're going to have a look at the picture of singing from the scriptures. We're going to have a bit of a look at what it means and what we see about music in general, sort of quickly as an overview, and then one particular passage, part of that passage from Colossians on singing. So let me pray as we get underway with that. Lord, please help our hearts and our minds to grasp the opportunity we have when we sing together as Christian people. Help us to see what we're doing, what you would have us do, and the powerful thing this can be for shaping our hearts and our minds in your sight, that we might live whole lives of worship to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. When do you sing? When do you sing? Do you sing in the car? Do you sing in the shower? Do you sing along to the radio? Do you sing at a rugby game or another sport? Who knows what that might be? If you sing, why do you sing? Do you sing because you're happy? A lot of people seem to sing because they're happy, or at least whistle. Do you sing because you're sad? Do you sing because you feel a particular way, happy or sad or whatever, or do you sing in order to change the way you feel, to make you feel a particular way? Do you put on a song or maybe play an instrument and sing along, and does that change your mood? Change the direction of your day? Do you sing because other people like to hear you sing? Do you sing because other people, maybe particular other people, don't like to hear you sing? So you sing louder. Or do you sing as little as you possibly can? Perhaps especially in church. Singing's a crazy thing when you think about it. We speak and we convey information, but singing just is a bit different. You might have noticed that we do sing in church quite a bit. The Christian church is a singing church. How do you feel about that? Maybe awkward or weird, or maybe you feel it's wonderful. Does it depend on what we're singing or on who's leading the singing? Why do you think we sing in church? As far as I can tell, singing has been part of the deal for God's people forever. But why do we sing? Why has it been part of the deal? Why does it continue to be? Last week we thought about, as I just said before, worship. And we saw how worship was something that happens in all of life. It's not just a part of it, it's all of it. And it's a whole life of thankful response to God, offering ourselves to him as living sacrifices, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I mentioned, as was highlighted by that question actually, that some people think of church, and especially in some cases singing, as what worship is really about. And last week we saw that's just too small an idea, too small a picture of worship, because worship is a whole life full of the opportunities of love and obedience towards God. That's what worship is. But there's a good reason that people often think of singing as especially worship. And there's a reason why people tend to call music teams worship teams and things like that. I think it's a mistake, but it's an understandable mistake. And the reason that it's an understandable mistake is this. Singing is powerful. Music is powerful. It has the ability to move us in a powerful way and to do things to us. And I think at least two elements of that power are seen in the scriptures. And I want to quickly look at them. Firstly, music is powerful because it aids our memory. Music's a powerful memory tool. You see this in the Old Testament in various places. Part of the purpose of the songs in a number of parts of the Old Testament was to help people remember the truths about God. Some places that's actually made explicit. It says it. Deuteronomy 31 is one of them. Moses is speaking, and it says this. And when many disasters and calamities come on them, on the people of Israel, this song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know what they're disposed to do, even before I bring them into the land I promised them on oath. So Moses wrote down this song that day and taught it to the Israelites. And then in chapter 32, Moses teaches the Israelites the words of this song, which tells a story of God's faithfulness to Israel and their unfaithfulness to him. Not the happiest of songs, maybe not top of the pops, but the point's very clear. He uses the song so that they will remember these things. So it says in verse 21, these things will not be forgotten. And we know music works like this. I mean, how do people learn their alphabet? How do kids learn their alphabet? A, B, C, D, E, F, every time. And my little boy, three-year-old, came and told me he was learning his alphabet, slightly skeptical, but straight away he started singing it to me. Songs make words memorable. They're a great way to learn things and to remember things. Music is a very powerful memory aid. But music's also powerful for engaging and expressing our emotions. So when you sing something, it can really connect emotionally with you in terms of the words. It can make the words connect with you emotionally. Psalm 150, which Tim read for us, it does that. It talks of the musical instruments used to praise the Lord. There's a rising sense of noise and victory as these instruments are added. And as you go through the psalm, and it's calling for praise of the Lord, and it finishes quite rightly with resounding cymbals. And that is a very powerful picture of the sort of engagement, the excitement of praise of the Lord. Psalm 100 expresses it too, verses 1 to 2. It says, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. See that language? Shout for joy. Worship with gladness. Joyful songs. Grateful praise. It's emotionally engaged. And music does that, whether it's happy or sad or angry or excited. It can give voice to the emotions and actually draw you in to these emotional responses. I remember when I first heard the song Small Bump by Ed Sheeran. Now, I'm not usually a huge fan of Ed Sheeran myself. There's no judgment in that. I'm just not. However, I heard this song on the radio, Small Bump, on the radio late one night. And the way it describes the fragility of an unborn child and looking forward to meeting this little one, talks about how the baby will wrap its fingers around your thumb, which is exactly what my children did when they were tiny. And it was sung to this sweet and simple kind of heart-tugging musical setting. And then there's this beautifully sad ache as this baby is lost to a miscarriage. And it's sung with a sad little musical phrase at the end of this song. So beautiful, so emotionally engaging. And I remember talking to one of the female youth group leaders, the youth group that I was working with at that time, and I was telling her about how beautiful this was, and she said, you're a bit of a girl then, aren't you? She was kind of tough. But the point is, the words and the music actually came together to capture something. They connected emotionally in such a powerful way, and the music emphasized and gave voice to the kind of emotional weight of that situation. And it brought me emotionally into that situation, even though I'd never experienced it in my own life. It actually, the words and the music together brought me into it. I kind of felt like I knew a little bit of it. Music is emotionally powerful in that way. So there are two elements there, which you've seen, two elements of music. There are probably more, but these two that are very important. Music's a great way to help us remember things, particularly the truths of God, and it's also emotionally engaging. So you can see how, even though it's by no means all of worship, still music is a powerful tool for worship, a powerful vehicle for helping us in the worship of God. It helps us get the truth of God in our heads so that we carry it around with us. That's memory. And it gets our hearts fired up about that truth for living it out because it engages our emotion. And so when we come to the New Testament, we come to the part of the Bible written after Jesus was born and lived and died and rose again, what we find is quite surprising, because there isn't much in the New Testament at all about music. Very little. It's barely talked about. But there are two explicit passages with instructions about music, two that I'm aware of. If there are others, you may be able to point them out to me. But there's two with instructions about music. They're very, very similar. They're both from the Apostle Paul, and we heard one of them tonight in our reading from Colossians, and we're going to focus in quite hard on that now for the rest of our time tonight. And in this part of Colossians, the apostle's talking to Christians in the town of Colossae about what it means to live as God's people. Now that they've been given new life in Christ, what does it mean then to live this new life out? And he tells them that because God has made them holy and he loves them dearly, they are to clothe themselves in compassion and kindness and humility and all those things. They are to forgive one another as they've been forgiven, and above all, to clothe themselves in love. And he tells them to let the peace of Christ rule among them. And then in verse 16, he gives them a key to all of this happening, to help it happen. He says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, It's not often I'll do this, but I want to suggest this is just a little tweak in the translation there that will bring out the depth of this in a way that's really important for understanding what music does. These NIV Bibles which are used here are outstandingly excellent translations, one of the best, and 99.99% of the time I'd never suggest any difference to them, but just here, a little tweak will bring out something very important, I think. Here it is on the screen, ever so slightly tweaked. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, notice what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the word of Christ dwelling in us. The word, the message, the truth of Christ dwelling amongst us. And how does he say that's going to happen? Well, two ways, and they are surprising, I think. Firstly, through the teaching and admonishing one another. Admonishing is like warning one another. And that's normal enough. But how are we to teach and admonish one another? Well, through, this is important, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See that? It's through singing that Paul here is saying that we should teach and admonish one another. That's how he sees it happening. And that makes sense in a way. You see, there are lots of ways for teaching and warning and encouraging one another with the truth of Christ, the message of the scriptures. But one of them that we all do together is singing. And notice here, the singing he's got in mind is to one another, to one another. Clearly, it's a horizontal direction of our singing. We're singing to the other people around us. We're singing to one another. And I wonder if that's what you're doing when you sing at church. Do you realize that that is what we're doing here. That's what we're called to do. As you sing the songs that we sing, that we're singing tonight, that you sing each Sunday night here, do you realize we're teaching and admonishing, encouraging, building one another up in the words of these songs? And because they're songs, they help us to remember the truths that we sing about. Music is powerful for memory. Helps us to remember them and take them with us into the week. And they help us to engage emotionally with the truth as well. Music is powerful for emotion. So as you sing the songs here, do you realize that that is what you're doing? You're singing to one another. It's not just about you and God when you sing at church. It's about us and God and about us and one another. And you know, when I see someone singing and really meaning it and engaging in it, you can often see that, then I'm encouraged to engage emotionally with what we're singing as well. We encourage one another in that way. I wonder, next time you think you might just close your eyes and sing. That's okay, in a way I do that sometimes, it's fine. But if that's what you usually do, have you thought maybe about looking around instead and seeing each other and reminding yourself that we are precious to each other and that as we sing, we're actually serving each other in an incredibly beautiful way? We're reminding each other of the incredible truths of Jesus Christ, of who he is, of what God has done for us in him, of how we should respond to that. We're doing that for each other. That's amazing. It's so much deeper than just singing or even just feeling moved. We're actually teaching and admonishing one another with his truth. You look around when you're singing and realize you're doing that. Someone might look back at you weirdly, but that's okay. That means, by the way, the words of our songs are very, very important. It is vital that they rightly express the word of Christ, the message of Jesus. It's vital that they reflect the truths of Scripture. They'll do that in a poetic way sometimes. We don't need to be nitpicky and kind of analyze everything and down to the nth detail. But nevertheless, with poetry and all that taken into account, after all, Psalms are poetry and they're in the Bible, poetry and that taken into account, they do need to reflect the truth of Jesus, the truth of Scripture. So if you have opinions about style and taste in music, and in my experience, 99.9% of people do, and the other 0.1% are just very, very polite. If you do have those opinions, that's fine, that's good, and they can be fine to express. But I hope you're most interested in the words and whether they express the truth of Christ. Because that's the most important thing. If you do have thoughts about that, by the way, Amy, who runs the music here in the evenings, who's going to be interviewed shortly, she's fine with hearing your thoughts on these. I asked her. I cheated. Please share them in a gracious way. She didn't say that. That was my advice. But please do share them in a gracious way. If you think a song doesn't fit with the truth of Christ in some way, she wants to know about that. Or if you're wondering how it does, then you should ask a question about that. Because it's vital that our music expresses the word of Christ so that we teach and admonish one another with the truth as we sing. Of course, as well, if you're finding the music really helpful in that way and you are finding it teaching and admonishing you, probably a good thing to let her know that too, because I've been involved in running music teams and a little bit of encouragement can be helpful. One last point on this. This is a bit of a stretching point. See, this doesn't only have to happen in church. I think Paul's certainly thinking about church as he speaks here, but there's no reason we can't extend that out. There's no reason we can't sing with each other at other times. When I was young, we used to get out guitars and sing our favourite 90s rock songs all the time. To be fair, we were musicians, but the rugby guys at my school put on CDs and sung their favourite like Exponent songs all the time, over and 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 over as well. So like, there's no reason why we couldn't do that and teach one another with song at other times as well. Even if we're just hanging out and there's a guitar around, or something like that, someone can play it, we could sing something full of the message of Christ to each other. Why not? It's a great thing to do. But there is, that's the first dimension, that's kind of horizontal. There is a second dimension to the word of Christ dwelling richly in us in this very rich verse. And it's this, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, this is clearly a vertical direction, going upwards. We've seen horizontal, looking around. This is vertical, going up to God. We're singing to God in our hearts here. And I don't think Paul's got in mind two different times. You know, there's one time that we sing to one another, and then we stop doing that, and then we sing to God. He's talking about at the same time. At the same time, we're singing to each other, and then we're singing with gratitude in our hearts to God. And this is another reason why we need to be singing words that are true to God's word. Because if we're singing to him, we don't want to sing untruths to him. He deserves to have us sing the truth in his praise. And of course, that means it's not just about singing to each other. It's not a performance in some way. I've been at church services where I have felt like it's a performance, where maybe people up the front were singing to us and it kind of felt like it was for entertainment or so that we'd be interested in some way, but it was more of a performance. Now, we're singing to God from our hearts as well as singing to each other. Now, important thing with that doesn't mean you have to be fully feeling it before you join in the singing at church. You know, you have to be really that. Before you join in the singing church, it doesn't mean that. Actually, singing great words about Jesus is a great way to get into the mode of feeling God's great truths. Remember, music's not just good at expressing emotion, it's good at engaging us and drawing us into those emotions. So if you're not feeling it, you're feeling flat or whatever, try singing and really focusing on the words we're singing, and hopefully the musicians will be trying to play in a way and lead us in singing in a way that connects with those words and encourages the emotions that fit with them. Amy's going to actually show us a little bit how she does that later on in an interview, so that'll be helpful. Keep an eye out for that. But it's a great way to engage with kind of, when you're not feeling it, to help you start to feel it. Really work on engaging with those words, with the singing. I spoke before about the danger of singing with your eyes closed, forgetting that it's about other people, not just you and God. Here's a different danger, singing with your heart closed, keeping God locked out as you sing. My little suspicion, if you guys are anything like St. Saviour's and St. Nick's, and I suspect you are, that our bigger danger is not singing with our eyes closed, but singing with our heart closed. In the sense of not opening up, not considering the wonder of what we're singing about. A God whose love is so great that he went through hell for us. That's what we're going to be talking about on Good Friday. Went through hell for us so we could sing songs of joy. Not just with our heads, but with our hearts as well. So we could rejoice that he has given himself for us and welcomed us home. That he's given us hope. We're going to sing a song soon, actually, that expresses that joy. The song is called Rejoice. Take notice of the words we sing. They call on us to rejoice even when things are tough because God has shown us his incredible, immovable, unbreakable love in Christ. Take notice of those words. Sing them to one another. Call on each other to rejoice. And sing them to God because he hears our voice, wipes away our tears, and he deserves to see our rejoicing in his grace, in his love. So let me pray. Lord, thank you that you've given us this blessing of music and particularly of singing, that we can engage our hearts in your truth and that we can engage our minds and remember your truths in this powerful way. We pray that as we sing, we'll realize we are singing and encouraging one another in the truth of Christ, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly in that way. Help us to do that and to be mindful of that. And Lord, please bless us also as we realize we're singing and responding to you in song, the wondrous things you've done for us. We pray that our minds and hearts will be shaped and transformed by what you've done and that music will help that to happen and will help us to express that with all our hearts. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.